Again this morning, if you would turn there with me to Ruth chapter 2, the second chapter. We've been going for the last few weeks through the book of Ruth. I've done this before in many years ago, and it's been such a blessing to me, just the study of this wonderful book. It's a short little book with only 80 some verses, but a powerful, powerful message. Praise God. We've talked about this family that ran away from God, left Bethlehem, the house of bread, went to Moab, thinking that in Moab they were going to find a place of blessing. But anytime you go away from the will of God, you go away from the plan of God for your life, you're going to find yourself facing hardship. And that's what happened to this family. Let's read here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens, that thine eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not go touch thee, shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What you're going to see in this story, not only is a type of the Lord himself, a wonderful message of salvation that you'll find in this story of the book of Ruth, but you also see some wonderful qualities and characteristics of dads, fathers. Now let's kind of just talk a little bit about this family and what happened to them. In the previous chapter, you notice that when she comes back to Bethlehem, Naomi with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, it says that all the people gather around to see her as she's coming back into Bethlehem. It says all the city was moved about them. They all were stirred to come around and to see this woman that was returning. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Naomi meant pleasant. When she went out 10 years before, she was known as Naomi or pleasant. But she suffered much in the 10 years that she has been gone. As a matter of fact, she now says, "I'm bitter. I'm bitter. The Lord has dealt very severely with me. The Lord has dealt harshly with me." Let me just insert this right here. Whenever you go away from God, when you go in the opposite direction of the will of God and the plan of God, you can expect sorrow, trouble, problems, heartaches. Whenever you go in a direction that is disobedient to the voice of the Lord, that's what she did. That's what their family had done, gone away from the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "The eyes are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers." There's a special blessing for the righteous. God hears your prayers. His ears are open to your prayers. But it said, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil." You're going to find yourself in a predicament of facing trouble, hardship, difficulty when you go away from the voice of the Lord. There is a lot to lose when you turn away from God. And I've watched this many times over the years. People just decide, "I'm going to walk away from God." Maybe they go through some trouble, some problem. They get bitter at God. They walk away from God. They walk away from the church of God and find themselves thinking they're going to be able to solve their own problems, but find themselves in the middle of great sorrow, great trouble, great hardship when they go away from the Lord. But they come back. It says that Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, just remember that the Moabites, Ruth was a Moabite, and she was coming back to Bethlehem, or coming to Bethlehem for the first time with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She comes back to this place. She knows nothing about it. Her past is pagan. Her past is no knowledge of the God of Israel. And so this is a story of the mercy of God. This is the story of how God is accepting Ruth into the family of God. And he does some wonderful things to do that. This is a story of the grace of God. Some folks feel like, "Well, I could never go to the house of God. I could never serve God. I've done too many bad things. There's no way that I could ever receive mercy or be forgiven." Well, it's just not true. It's not true. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that will forgive you. If you will come humbly to the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord, He will show mercy to you. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter your past. If you're willing to humble yourself and ask God for mercy, God will show mercy. Praise God. Ruth was really an alien. She was not in her homeland at all. But she was coming with her mother-in-law, and in so doing, she was believing that God was going to show mercy to her. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. How many people are in that very condition? No hope. Nowhere to turn, no answer for the problems that they are in and the trouble that they're in. But now in Christ, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise God. So this is a wonderful story of redemption. And this is a family that needs a Savior. This is a family that needs to be saved. and needs to return and get back to God. So no matter the sin, no matter how far away you are from God, God, no, he's not going to ignore your sin, but he is going to forgive your sin. If you'll come humbly before the Lord, you can find mercy in the presence of God. Praise God. And so it's a wonderful story of God's redemption. But there's several characteristics that you'll see in this story, especially as it relates to Boaz, that's being introduced to us here in chapter 2. Boaz, God working through him and working in that circumstance that they were in. You understand that God providentially works in our lives. God is at work in your life. As a matter of fact, he was at work in Naomi and Ruth's life, even though they had hit rock bottom, even though they were in poverty, even though they were both widows and really destitute, yet God was at work in their life. What does that mean when we use that word providence, the providence of God? Well, really, there's many definitions, but really, the providence of God is just God weaving natural events supernaturally. God moving in natural events in supernatural ways. Really, the word providence, providere. In pro, the word means before, and vadir means to see. It means that when we say that God works in your life providentially, it means that God has seen you beforehand. He knew what you were going to face. He knew where you were going to be. He understood everything about your life and your circumstance. And God was working. And God was moving. There's no such thing as coincidence as far as God's moving in our life. God works providentially in our life. Notice at the very last verse of the previous chapter that when they turned to go toward Bethlehem. It says that it was about the time of the barley harvest. God was working providentially for them. They were getting there right on time, right at the time that they needed to be there. If they would have been there a month earlier, 2 months earlier, before the harvest season, then they would have been no doubt in trouble. But since they're arriving in Bethlehem right at the harvest time, they are coming just in time. And the world would say, wow, that was a coincidence. That was really good fortune, good luck on their part. But we know that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. God is working providentially in our life because he sees before what we're going to need. He sees where we're going to be and the circumstances of our life. He sees it all before. Praise God. Amen. You know, we say this sometimes. When I look back over my life, I see the hand of God. You couldn't necessarily see it beforehand, but when you look back and you review your life, you see the hand of God. You see where God worked, where God moved, where God arranged things in perfect timing, in perfect circumstances. You see the hand of God in your life. That song that we sing from time to time, he abides, he abides. One of the phrases in that verse is the hand of God in all my life I see. If you'll review your life, you will see the hand of God. You'll see his mercy. You'll see his goodness, even though you were not deserving of it. You'll see that God was working, that God was leading you. He was directing your steps. He was moving in your behalf even before you came to know the Lord. God in his mercy was working providentially in your life. Praise God for that. Have you seen the hand of the Lord in your life? I trust that as you review your days, your life, that you can see God was there. God was working. God was arranging. God was setting this all up in his own good timing. You notice that Ruth decides to go out into the field and to glean in the field. And it says, the King James says, she haps upon a certain field. The word just means it's just, you know, it just happened. She just happened on the field. But we know that it wasn't just good luck on her part. We know that God was directing her. God was putting her where she needed to be, in the field that she needed to be in. God was arranging it all because he wanted to bless her life. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you that we serve a God that's good. We serve a heavenly Father that is good. He cares about you. He cares about your future. He cares about your life. And he's working in ways to bring you to him, to bring you into fellowship with him. He's working in your life in all different kinds of circumstances. Some of them are difficult. Some of them may be challenging. But yet God knows what he's doing to perform his perfect will in your life. Amen. This is a little family, two widows. They are poor. They are widows. They are destitute. And they need a Savior. They need a Savior. And so God has arranged it all. It just so happened that she falls or steps into the field to work. And that field is owned by a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz gives to us some wonderful pictures of our Lord and Savior. He's also a wonderful type and has some wonderful qualities of a father that we'll look at here for just a few minutes. He was a kinsman to Elimelech, who had died down in Moab. His name was Boaz, and he has quite a history himself. Actually, this history causes him to show mercy to Ruth. I believe that because of Boaz's history, that God was working through him to provide help for her. Now, whenever someone that was completely impoverished like they were, according to the law, those who had fields of grain or corn, they were required, according to Leviticus chapter 19, to leave what they called handfuls on purpose, or not glean in the corners of the fields, so that the poor, the needy, the widow, that they could come and they could work there and they could glean their own food and provide their own food that they needed. And so from the very beginning, Boaz has a heart for Ruth. From the very beginning. And he explains why. He explains why. He had heard about her. He heard about her kindness to Naomi. He heard about her qualities, her character, the kind of person that she was. And even though she was a Moabite woman, he understood that God could work even in that kind of a situation. Boaz's own mother, you remember her, name was Rahab. And when you read about her, Rahab was a prostitute that lived in the city of Jericho. Her house, her family's house, was upon the city wall. And when the spies went in to check out all the conditions of Jericho, she gave those spies a hiding place at her house. And in exchange for that hiding place, she said, "Don't forget us. Remember us. And when you come and this city is going to be taken down and destroyed, you remember our family." You remember the story how she lets down a scarlet cord or a scarlet ribbon. And that is what they climbed down off of that wall. And later on, when they come against Jericho and the walls of Jericho come down, God so preserves Rahab's family. And with that ribbon that's hanging up there, which is a wonderful type of the blood of Jesus, that scarlet ribbon, she is saved and her family is saved. And then she's just assimilated right into the Israeli family. And she marries into the Israeli family. She marries a man by the name of Salmon. Interesting name. And then as a result of that marriage, then this man by the name of Boaz is born. Now, you can believe that Boaz has heard this story. He's probably heard this story a lot of times as his mother testified to him of how that she was in such a terrible, wicked life and how that she lived in that way and against God and was a part of a heathen nation and a wicked city, but how that God had preserved her family and preserved her, and not only preserved her, but accepted her into the family of God and allowed her to have a home and a family and a future among the people of God. You can be sure that little Boaz heard that story. He had heard about the mercy of God. He had heard about forgiveness. He understood that God could take anyone and do wonderful things in their life. Praise God. Boaz was obviously a godly man. When he comes to the field, he blesses the workers, and the workers bless him back. Amen. How would you like to work in a company like that, where the bosses blessed you, and you just blessed them back? That's the kind of circumstance that they lived in or that they worked in. And Boaz, that was the kind of life that he was living. According to Leviticus 19, the fields were left. There were certain parts of the field that were left ungleaned so that the workers could go in, the poor and the needy could go in, and they could work and glean it. Now, it wasn't a handout. It wasn't a stimulus check. It was an opportunity to work. Amen. It was an opportunity to work and to provide, even though that you were poor and had nothing. And so God used Boaz to work in this situation, to provide for her. That's so much like a father, a good father. A good father is a provider. You know, when you're young, you think, I want to have a business or a career. I want to make money. But then when family comes along, then your priorities start changing. You start thinking, I must take care of my family. I am a provider above everything else. I want to provide for them. This year is 20 years since my dad passed away. Hard to believe, 20 years ago that he passed away. And I know that you've all heard my stories about my dad, but my dad wasn't a Christian, but my dad was a good man. And he was, above all things, he was a hard worker and a provider for his family. And that's, when I think of my dad, I think of him in his work clothes. I think of him coming home from work. I think of him when he walked in the door. He went immediately to the shower. He worked in a fabrication shop. It was dirty. It was a tough job. And he was a welder, and he got dirty. The first thing he did was come in. He went to the shower. And then he would go to the living room, and he would lay in the floor and put his feet up in the chair, because my dad had had two or three back surgeries. I know two, maybe three back surgeries. My dad had terrible back problems, and that's the only way that he could get relief after a hard day's work. So my vision of my dad was myself and my two younger brothers standing out by the road, looking down the road to see my dad's truck turn the corner and drive up the road and pull into the driveway, get out in his overalls, walk into the house, and I've already told you what was next and all that he did. My dad was a provider. When my dad passed away, my mom said, is there anything that your dad's that you want? And I couldn't think of anything that I really wanted of his personal possessions. And then I remembered his lunchbox. And that little lunchbox that he took, and I would see it laid out on the counter every day. And so I said, where's Dad's lunchbox? And my mom found it and brought it to me. And I've got it up in the top of the closet at home, and I look at it often. I'll look up at the top of that closet, and I remember my dad was a provider. He was a provider. And I'm grateful for that, and that he was willing to provide for his family. Now, that doesn't mean we had a lot. It just meant that he took great deal of concern to provide for his family. Boaz provided for Ruth and Naomi and made sure, and he said, oh, listen, don't look at any other field. Don't go to any other field. You stay right here. What he was saying was, I'm accepting responsibility for you. I want you to be here. He said, my young men that are workers out here, they're going to draw water, and you just feel free to go and get the water that you need. You feel free to take all of these possessions, and they're yours. And so he took her under his wing. As a matter of fact, the terminology here in the scripture is that now you have come under the wings of the Heavenly Father. You're now in a place where you are going to be taken care of. And I'll just insert this right here, that whenever Naomi and Ruth made their move toward God, God immediately started providing for them. God immediately started making a way for them. If you wonder, how am I going to make it? How can I survive? You put your life and your future in the hands of the Lord. You turn your heart toward God. God will take care of you. That's who he is. God is a provider, and he will take care of you no matter what your needs might be. Another thing about this man Boaz was that he also said to her, listen, I've given instructions to all the young men. I've told them, don't touch her. Keep your hands off of her. There's all kinds of maidens here. If you're interested in them, fine. He was already claiming her. He was already saying, this is someone that I have my eye on. And he warned them. I don't know exactly how he said it, but he was the boss, and he probably just said, listen, that one right there, her name is Ruth, keep your hands off of her. Don't even look in her direction. What he was saying was to her when he said that I've already instructed the young men to keep their hands off of you, he was saying to her, I'm not only going to be your provider, but I'm going to be your protector too. I'm going to be your protector. Dads are providers. Dads are protectors. That's a part of their job. That's a part of their responsibility. He said, only reap in my field. I'm taking responsibility for you. Now, you know, wives and kids, don't resent it when your dad, your father, is saying, listen, I don't want you out after dark now. I don't like you out on the road after dark. He's not being bossy. He is fulfilling his job as protector. Brother Greg told me that he said, I wasn't sure that the church vans would make the trip safely up to Ohio. And so since Rebecca and some of the girls are going to be going up to youth camp, they're going to take their own personal vehicles. And he said, I just wanted to make sure that they got there safely. And that was that protector quality kicking in there. That's what dads do. That's what husbands do. Dads and husbands are not, they're not being nosy about saying, where are you going to be, or where were you, or what are you? They're not being nosy. They're being a protector. Amen. That's what dads do. My youngest memory, I remember, I don't know how, I was probably a preschooler, I was a very little guy. I can remember at night sometimes getting scared in the night. And I don't know what I got scared, maybe I'd hear a noise or just it was dark or I don't know. But I remember being scared, and then I would hear in the other part of the house, my dad clear his throat or cough. And I thought, Dad's here, we're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. We're going to be protected. Dad's in the house. And then a little bit later on, I remember my dad had a couple of uncles that were drinkers, alcoholics. And they would come around every once in a while, and they would want my dad to help them, give them money. Or I remember one time in particular, we were out, just standing out in the yard. And I remember this uncle, who my dad loved and cared about. But his uncle was saying to my dad, I don't really have anywhere to go. Could you let me stay here for a little while? And my dad said to him, I was a little kid, I don't know how old I was, but my dad said, I'm sorry, Paul, but I've never allowed my boys to be around alcohol. I'd never allowed my sons to be around drinkers. And so I can't do that. I can't allow that to happen. When I was a little kid, I didn't realize. As a matter of fact, I probably thought, well, Dad, you're being pretty tough on him. But I now understand that he was being a protector. He was trying to preserve us and protect us. That's what dads do. That's what Boaz did for Ruth. And that's what God does for us. That's who he is. He is our protector. Amen. So he's a provider and he's a protector. Deuteronomy 33 and 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That's the God that is our protector, who watches over us and takes care of us. And that's what dads do. That's what fathers do. They protect, they're concerned, they provide, and they want to bless. And that's really the story here of Ruth and Naomi, because he was providing for them, he was protecting them, and allowing them to understand that you're in a place now where you're underneath the wings of protection. You are underneath the wings of protection. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Ruth has come from Moab. She's come from a heathen and a pagan, idol worshiping nation, where they literally burn their babies in their heathen worship. And she's come into a land of provision. She's come into a land now where she's going to be accepted. She's going to be received into the family. And Boaz is going to be her savior. Praise God. Glory to God. I want you to know today that no matter where you are or how far away from God you are, God is calling for you to come home. And he's calling for you, and understand this, that he's not going to forsake you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He is going to direct providentially in your life and lead you to what you need and where you need to be. If you'll just serve him, it doesn't matter how far away from God. When you turn your heart toward the Lord, God is going to begin to be your heavenly Father. Praise God for that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, Lord, with an everlasting love. And I know, Lord, that you care about everyone. There's some here today that in the natural, they don't have a father that has filled this role. But Lord, you have. You have. And even in our lives, you've providentially directed and put us in places, Lord, where there have been those spiritual fathers who have stepped up and have been what you want us to have and to bless our lives. I pray, Lord, today for every family and every father, and especially, Lord, some that are here today, that they are away from God. But, Lord, you're talking to them. For people in this service today, you're dealing with them. They're far away, like Naomi was, like Ruth was. They decided to return. And as soon as they made the decision to return, you begin to set up providentially in their life, to arrange their life, to protect them, to provide for them, to bless them. Lord, I just pray today that if there are those in this service, Lord, they don't know you. They're away from you. They're a long way from where they need to be. I ask you, Lord, to speak to their hearts, Lord, and they could be introduced to a Savior that loves them and forgives them and can restore them and bless their lives in greater ways than they could ever imagine. Do that work today, we pray in Jesus' name.